Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, this is Coffee Break with Sheila Hardin, and we're on Blog Talk Radio this morning, and I can't wait to talk to our next guest, Mary Pat Jones, who is from Bein Health Ministries in Georgia, and she's involved in healing prayer, and we're going to hear a lot about miracles today, and it's going to be a very exciting topic. I love hearing about this kind of thing. But before we do that, I want to give you a little fast food for the day. This is Proverbs 22:24-25. Keep away from angry, short-tempered men, lest you learn to be like them and endanger your soul. Isn't that interesting? You know, when I think about that, I think about what happens to me when I let myself get really angry about something, and it's almost like the anger takes over all of me. And certainly I lose my good sense or my ability to problem solve when I get wrapped up in that. So this is sure good advice for me. I don't know about anybody else. Well, we're on now to our guest for today, Mary Pat. How are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me, Sheila?
I can hear you just fine.
Awesome.
Can you
Great.
Hear me?
Yes, I hear you perfect. Thanks.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the ministry that you're involved in, how you got involved in it, and what kind of results you see?
Great. Actually, my journey at Bein Health started in 1999. I was very sick, very depressed, had chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, and just life was not so great. I ended up at the Bein Health retreat, if we used to call it, and there I began to be taught the biblical truths of healing and roots to disease and that kind of thing. And I was able to, in 1 week's time, I was healed of everything that I had. And the biggest thing was, you know, I had my joy back. I mean, having had struggled in and out of depression was a huge thing. I had also had multiple addictions, but I had them very managed by 12-step programs when I got there. But because I had never addressed the root of those, what was manifesting at that time that got me to Bein Health was, you know, some pretty heavy depression. And so I came to Bein Health. I began to sit under the teachings. Like I said, I got healed of all those things in a week. I went back. I had come from Naples, Florida, to visit the ministry in Georgia. And I came back, and I was just so on fire for the Lord. I had been raised in a church, but it was kind of just a very, for lack of a better description, bland, denominational. We didn't really talk about much of anything. And I was so excited to find that there was hope here. And what I had been taught at Bein Health really put the puzzles of my life together. And that's what I'd always been trying to figure out. Why do I struggle so much? Why am I having these problems? And so Bein Health, you know, teaching the word and their principles that they teach gave me all that I needed. And so my husband Rick and I began to teach in Naples, Florida. And then we moved to Thomaston, Georgia, where the ministry is, in 2005, I believe it was. We've been here about 5 years, and we currently teach in the ministry now.
Well, what is it about, you know, people talk about healing prayer, and I think some people go and get prayer to be healed, and they're healed, and other people aren't. The majority don't seem to be. And so then they, I think, lose confidence that God has any power in their life and that healing prayer even exists. We hear about it in the Bible, and some people even say, well, you know, it's from ancient times. It doesn't happen today.
Right. Yeah, they talk about healing passed away, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what's the difference with, you know, going into something like the healing rooms and getting prayer, or going forward at church and getting prayer for healing, and what you all do at Pleasant Valley?
Right. Well, the really neat thing about it, and Pastor Henry, our senior pastor, talks about this all the time, I was never really prayed for till the very end. I was taught. you know, it says without knowledge we perish. And so I got a lot of knowledge, and it began to make sense to me. And like I said earlier, it began to put the pieces of the puzzle, you know, the fears that I had. I had very much bitterness towards myself. I didn't know that. I thought I was fine. I liked myself, whatever, but I learned differently. The fear that I had in my life, the rejection, the guilt, the shame, you know, all the different things that I just thought, well, that's just kind of how life is. I began to see that I needed to look at these things, where they came from, my participation with them, and what, as far as the prayer goes, really it was my responsibility to get before the Lord as I recognized these things and begin to repent for my participation, because I was participating with things that are not of God. You know, an example would be fear. It could be fear of failure, fear of man, fear of, you know, doctors, whatever that fear might look like. I think Henry talks about, there's an article in Newsweek or something a long time ago that said there were over 4,000 fears. And you're like, well, fear, that's just kind of a normal thing. Mm-hmm. Actually, we use the word stress today. The word we talk about is stress, which really, if we think about what stresses us out, it is an underlying fear. And the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So I had been raised, my mother was a psychologist, so I kind of, you know, everything was psychology. And so to hear that maybe this was a spiritual issue and all the things I'd tried to do in the past to get better were not working, because, you know, what I learned at Being Health is they were spiritual problems and only a spiritual solution would, you know, assist me in any way. So we have something called the 8 R's, and it's recognizing, oh, wait, fear is a sin, because the Bible says anything that's not of faith is a sin. And so recognizing some of these areas in my life, being rejected. You know, Jesus took our rejection on the cross. Mm-hmm. So if I'm feeling mm-hmm. rejected by a husband or by friends or people, you know, whoever, then mm-hmm. I am participating something that's not of God. And so they begin to teach me these things. And so back to the 8 R's, I begin to recognize these things. I took responsibility for my participation. I was then able to clearly see that I needed to repent, because I was participating with something that was not from God, that it was from another kingdom, a dark kingdom. I renounced those things. I don't want them in my life. That's the next R. And then we would remove them in the name of Jesus. And that prayer would be simply, you know, let's just say fear of man. I would repent and renounce and say, I don't want those things in my life, and Father, forgive me. And then we would just, you know, tell that spirit of fear of man, for example, to go in Jesus' name, just like Jesus did. And it was very powerful. After we do some of the ministry, then there usually is a prayer for healing, like we're used to, you know, in the prayer line or, you know, mm-hmm. at church. But the difference was we had taken responsibility for our participation with sin and darkness. And the Bible says it's very clear in many places that we need to repent. And I think that's the thing that's different about Being Health, is we, first of all, we obtain the knowledge that we need to even recognize some of the things we've been participating with, and then the healing prayers can work, because the enemy doesn't have a legal right in our life anymore, because we are not participating with his ways.
You know, the whole concept of sin is in the church is kind of an interesting thing, because some people, you know, they hear the word sin and they think, oh my God, I'm being condemned, and I'm just a worm, you know, and why bother? And I think that it is more helpful to think of sin as being off the mark, being out of connection with God, moving away from God, agreeing with the principles that are not going to serve us well.
Right.
It that kind of moves the condemnation away enough so that people can begin to really look objectively at what they're doing that's not constructive for them.
Absolutely. And again, a lot of it was knowledge. I just didn't know. Most people in their don't know that. I mean, we know if we're committing adultery or, mm-hmm. you know, we're beating our wives or, you know, we go, oh, that's sinful, that's terrible, they shouldn't do that. We know that. And if we're not doing those things, we think, well, you know, I try to be a good person so I don't have sin. Mm-hmm. But that's why the teaching part is so important. You know, I know mm-hmm. Pastor Henry's big on saying, you know, we are not a deliverance ministry. And when I teach, I often joke with the class because it is 50 hours of long teaching.
And, you know, and it's all scripture. It's every. It seems like every single word is right out of the Bible. It's all scripture.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's backed by scripture. And so, you know, a lot of it we just didn't know. I mean, I came out of eating disorders. I was terrified of food and terrified of weight gain and all this thing. So I had a fear. I just thought, well, that's just my issue or whatever. But I learned fear is a sin. Fear, God doesn't want me to be in fear. It's not from Him. Fear is designed to destroy me. One of the other things that we do at Be In Health is look at how our spirituality affects us physically. And mm-hmm. I teach a class at Be In Health called Fear, Stress, and Physiology. And what we see that this, you know, what we now have learned at this point is a spirit of fear, our participation, you know, if I have a fear of gaining weight, fear I'm going to lose my job, fear I don't have enough money, whatever that fear is, that fear lines up with what the medical community says. Again, they call it stress, but mm-hmm. how fear/stress destroys your immune system. It causes you to, you know, all your stress hormones are increased, which begin to break the body down. And so, you know, a lot of our, quote, healing is not necessarily, how can I say this, not necessarily God just hearing our prayer for healing, but there we're dealing with the thing that is causing the breakdown of the physical body. I'm dealing with the fear. I don't want it in my life. I'm not going to walk in the fear anymore. I'm going to trust God. And then your body will come back into alignment or homeostasis. The stress hormones have been pumping out because of all your stress and anxiety are now coming back to normal, and the body's able to heal. And so, you know, we see that over and over again. I guess it would be like if you were trying to drive your car at very, very high RPMs all the time. Of course, your car's going to wear out quickly. And that's kind of what we do when we're operating in fear, stress, and anxiety all the time. And again, we don't have to say it's this huge fear of tornadoes coming. It's just that day-to-day, I'm stressed out. How am I going to do what I need to do? How can I accomplish everything? Is my boss going to be mad? Am I going to be late? Are the kids going to come home from, you know, all those things where we're not taking our peace and trusting God. That is sin. That we teach that because that is fear. And the scriptures are very clear, you know, be anxious for nothing is a huge one. You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And, you know, a sound mind's not all tizzed out all the time.
Yeah. Well, now, you were completely healed after 1 week at Pleasant Valley doing the Be In Health teachings. Did you go through a period where you felt like you lost your healing and had to get it back again? Does anybody ever experience that?
Absolutely. I mean, I was fortunate when I went back to Naples. There was a group of people that had been through the program and said there was some support. And Rick and I oversee something called the 7000 Project, and that's kind of our little be in touch with Be In Health, I guess, way to say it, you know, where there is support there. But many people come, they get a dramatic amount of teaching, which is totally different than what their church has taught them. So first of all, they have to kind of recover themselves from, oh my gosh, I've never heard any of this. I mean, I know that was certainly true for me. Or they've heard something totally opposite. Healing passed away, mm-hmm. and yet we're healing is for today. You know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, mm-hmm. and He was the mm-hmm. So why did it pass away? But, you know, different things kind of put you in the tilt mode, so you have to kind of work through that a little bit. But then you go home, and you are so excited because God has done some things with you in the week. Maybe you did get a healing in every area of your life. Maybe you got a partial healing. Maybe you just got hope and joy, and finally you understand. And so there's a forward motion no matter what you leave here with.
Mm-hmm.
And you go home, and maybe you go into your church, and you're so blessed, and you're so excited, and you begin to share with maybe the pastor or people in your church, and they are like, you've lost your mind. We don't teach mm-hmm. that, you know. Stop. Mm-hmm. Don't talk about it. And so it's very disheartening because, you know, when you know truth and you see the fruits of truth, we're only excited to share that. And then when someone rejects it, you know, it's kind of hard. So we really try to let people know that, you know, that everybody's not going to want to hear what you've learned. And mm-hmm. and there may be, so what happens, back to your question, is you go home and, you know, we teach something very important that is, I don't think we ever emphasize it enough. I don't know that it can be emphasized enough. It's walk out. Yes, you understand these truths now. Yes, you understand there is an enemy out there that comes to kill, steal, and destroy your life. But God wants it to be the opposite, you know, to live more abundantly. And you begin to see the war for your life, if you will, and you recognize it, and you've been taught tools of how to deal with that. But then you come back and everybody's kind of down on you and doesn't want to hear what you have to say and thinks that you've been, you know, brainwashed and, you know, we don't teach that. And then maybe they'll get a symptom. Maybe they were healed of migraines, for example, and all of a sudden they're having these migraine symptoms. And then the enemy is right there just with all the doubt and unbelief and see it doesn't really work. And so if you don't have the support of the word, you must, you know, the most important thing, you must renew your mind, because mm-hmm. we often, you know, yes, we can remove evil from your life in the name of Jesus, just like Jesus did, but we don't give lobotomies. You know, so much, what we have is long-term memory, so you can remove the source that has caused the long-term programming, memory, habit, whatever you want to call it. You can remove that, for example, that spirit of fear of man or whatever, but you still have the memories. And so the walk out, the renewing of the mind is, what does God say about me? You know, maybe I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I'll never amount to anything, I'm the terrible cook. You know, you're so down on yourself. And it's like, that does not line up with what God says about you. So as you begin to walk away and say, you know what, that's true, you know, maybe I'm not where I want to be, but God thinks, you know, he thinks about me more than the grains of sand, and so I want to begin to line up with that, and he created me for a purpose, and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and, you know, I just got duped into the lie that I was, nothing. Mm-hmm. And so you have to renew your mind, and sometimes it's very hard when there's not the support there.
You know, the walkout really is going into battle, and the main battlefield is the mind.
Absolutely.
And yep. That, I think, is almost harder than anything else, because your mind's always going. It's always with you. You can't turn it off. So it is a very challenging experience to start confronting things on that level and dealing with them on that level. It's very, very challenging.
And that's why you have to know the word, because, you know, one of the big scriptures in the New Testament, you know, is take every thought captive.
Yes.
If I have a thought that I want to go, you know, cuss everybody out around me, you know, did that come from God? Did that come from the enemy? You know, it certainly sounds like more of the enemy, you know, who wants to destroy. And I have to take that thought captive and say, am I going to allow that to manifest through me? Am I going to allow the enemy to use me, a puppet, for his ways? And, you know, and maybe things aren't so clear. You know, maybe you have a thought that's just, you know, and maybe I should go sell my house and move to Texas. Well, is that from God or the enemy? I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I begin to, you know, I have to know what the word says. And I have to be patient and wait on God to show me, you know, is that a thought from you? Is that a thought from the enemy just trying to get me to, you know, mess up everything? And so, but if we don't know the word, when we do have a thought and we are able to take that thought captive, does it line up with the word? If I have a thought again that I'm just ugly and the stupidest thing you ever saw, does that line up with the word? Absolutely not. So that's not from God. That is a thought from something that's not godly. That's, you know, that's that enemy trying to get me to come into agreement with him. But I don't, you know, I never knew the word before. I mean, I went to church, but, you know, you had one little scripture they read, and then they talked about whatever. We're out at noon. So I didn't really know. If I had thoughts, I just thought, well, they were mine. and mm-hmm. and that's the way it was, and I had to learn to deal with it. And, you know, so again, we have to know what the word says so we can take these thoughts captive and see which camp do they line up with.
And sometimes that's very confusing. I heard a teaching once where they said you really have to determine whether the thought is yours, something that you just want to do, from God or from the enemy. And sometimes it's really hard to distinguish those.
You know, one of the things that I've kind of learned when it's a thought that you're just really not sure, you know, I mean, you know, if you have a thought to go kill your neighbor, it's like, oh, that's mm-hmm. probably not from God. Those are easy, but
yeah.
Those ones that are just very subtle, just an average thought, you know, what I have learned is the enemy wants to drive you. You know, if I have a thought, you know, I think I might want to go work as a, I want to become a nurse. You know, maybe I'm a secretary now and maybe I want to become a nurse. Is that from, you know, I don't know where that thought came from at that moment. And is the enemy will say, quit your job tomorrow and go sign up for nursing school the next day. You know, he wants you to just get on it right now. God will lead you. The enemy kind of drives you. And so I know when I have a thought and I'm not sure where it comes from, the most important thing for me to do is just kind of wait and take my time. Because I know if I just dive right into it, as soon as I have that thought and put things into motion, that I could really be getting into some trouble fast.
Mm-hmm.
God is never in a hurry. The enemy is always like, do it now, you know, go ahead and get your destruction mode started. That's something that I have found. You know, the Lord talks many times, you know, patiently wait on me. Mm-hmm. I think it's Psalm 37. You have to wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, patiently wait. And, you know, the enemy wants you just to react and do it and just jump on it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's helped me. And the other thing you were talking about a little bit earlier is, you know, when we say, gosh, you might have some sin in your life, and you're like, mm-hmm. well, gosh, I don't, you know, I don't kill people, and I don't do adultery, so no,
right.
I don't really, it sounds very condemning. And, you know, the enemy would want you to feel condemned, like,
mm-hmm.
oh, you horrible, you committed adultery, or, you know, you're so bad, you know, you're terrified of fried food. You know, I always had such terrifying of calories and weight gain, and, you know, we'd think it was a big monster when it was really just, you know, stupid fear. But in my mind, it was big and it was real. And, you know, the enemy would want to condemn me. Look how awful you are. Look how terrible. You can't even eat right. You know, you're just always afraid. You know, he would condemn mm-hmm. me in that. The Holy Spirit is gentle. He will convict us. If I see a sin now, I mean, I like to see sin now because I know I have power over it and it has to go and I get to stay. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit will convict you. Wow, you know, maybe I do have like a fear of food or a fear of weight gain. And why would I participate with fear? It's not from God. Or, you know, and it's a very gentle conviction that makes me want to repent and want to be delivered of that sin versus the enemy who would try to condemn me in it. It's kind of like he causes the problem and then he wants to accuse me in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the enemy uses the whole concept of sin to immobilize people.
Right, exactly.
I hope that doesn't convey the idea that I'm thinking that sin is bad. I mean, it is bad, but it's I just don't want to give the wrong impression. You know, the point I'm trying to make, I don't want to give the wrong impression about that, but I think the enemy will use whatever tool is handy to get
what?
People to be ineffective and pull them away from God's love.
And that's the biggest thing. You know, sin separates us from God, and it separates us from other people, and it separates us from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're separated from God, of course, that can be a block to our healing. So we keep going and praying in the prayer lines or whatever, but we don't get healed. And then the enemy would say, see, God doesn't listen to you. He's not, you know, he doesn't heal for today. And really, it's because maybe we are hard on ourselves. We don't forgive ourselves. We haven't forgiven our, you know, our mothers, our fathers, mm-hmm. our whoever, that is a block to healing because God says you have to forgive just like I forgave you. And so sin, in this example, our unforgiveness, separates us from God. And when we have sin in our life, it is a block to God's healing, because he mm-hmm. wants us to, and he doesn't care if we have sin. He knows we have it. He just wants to come to us and say, I got it. And he's like, that's awesome. That's all I wanted you to do, is just take responsibility and realize that you don't want to do, you don't want to have it in your life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's mm-hmm. gentle. But the enemy, again, tries to accuse us, tell us we're the worst thing in the whole wide world. We're horrible people. We should be so ashamed. And then we come into agreement with that, and then he has us right where he wants us.
Yeah.
And when we're so participating in that, God says, you know what? You're listening to another kingdom. You're listening to another, not another Bible, if you know, but another word, another kingdom. You're not listening to what I have to say. And so I have to just wait till you come back to me. So
mm-hmm.
he just patiently waits for us, and he's so gentle and kind when we do. So sin,
yeah.
yes, we should be afraid of. We should be, yippee, I see it. Yay, now I know what to do with it. So I can move ahead.
Yeah. Now, if people are really sensing this is something they're interested in being more involved in, how would they, what are a couple of ways that they could learn more about this ministry?
Okay, well, first of all, our website is exactly our name, BN Health, and that's B-E-I-N Health, BNHealth.com. And we have a variety of things to meet different needs. Certainly we have CDs, we have books, you know, we have the, what we call the book, which was the original. It's called A More Excellent Way, which is very thorough. We have programs. That's where I initially went, and I can't say enough for taking a week out of your life and coming to the program. It's called For My Life. You will learn everything that you need to know. There'll be ministry, there'll be deliverance, there'll be personal ministry at the end of your time for, you know, maybe some special things that you need to deal with, and it's called For My Life. So we have a week-long program. We have a program called For Their Life, which is when you have, once you've kind of gotten this and you want to begin to learn to share and minister to others. We have a program, For My Life for Kids. That's ages 5 to 12 or 14, I think. That's a phenomenal program to get kids started right when they're young. And then we have something called Spiritual Lifeline. That is a phone ministry where you can call in, and there is a fee for that. You get 2 hours of one-on-one ministry a month, so that's a good thing. There are some free online conferences. If you go to thebeinhealth.com, there's 5 hours of free teaching, which can introduce you to what we're talking about. And then Rick and I just got back from doing a program called For My Life Near You, where we actually take the For My Life program out into a city. We just got back from Tampa, Florida, and that's a 32-hour program, and that's a new thing we've started because it is difficult for sometimes people to get to Georgia with the expense and everything. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, what a blessing this is to people. I had an occasion to run into a gentleman from my church. He's a Messianic Jew and a very pragmatic, straightforward kind of guy, a businessman. And he and his wife went back, and I went up to him and I said, "Well, so how did you like it?" And he said, "I think it's fab. Every Christian needs to go do this. I don't know why they aren't teaching this in every church." I mean, he was just wild about it. And apparently it had made a big difference in his life, and a big difference.
Absolutely. So, and, you know, you said Christians should come see that, you know, come to it. I agree, but I believe we've had Buddhists and Muslims and atheists and people that were just sick that came. And certainly you don't have to be sick to come. You can come just for many reasons. But many people do come because they're very sick, and it's kind of the last thing they have to try.
Yeah,
and, you know,
yeah.
Some believers, because it's like, wow, they get the truth. And so it's just really exciting. It's not a real religious in-your-face approach, and so it's very easy to swallow, if you will.
For everybody. Mm-hmm. Well, Mary Pat, thank you so much. This has been such a blessing having you today, and we'll look forward to hearing more stories from you later.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sheila. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, that's all for today. If you want more information, go to my website, in my coffeebreakradio.org, and there'll be more information about how to reach Be In Health Ministries and Mary Pat. That's all for today, and thank God Adam's here. See you soon.